invite you this morning, if you would, to take your Bible and open with me to the Gospel of John and the 13th chapter, John chapter 13, this morning. Before we return to the study of John's first epistle, I want to remind us of the commandment that the Lord Jesus Christ left his followers, his disciples. John chapter 13, beginning in verse 34, we read, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." In verse 35, he continues to say, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." We're in the midst of our study here of the book of 1 John. And we're in the midst of what John is now describing to us as the command to love one another. And so from the very beginning, we realize that every believer is expected to live a life that loves another, to love other brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a command that we have all been given to follow by the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet we struggle at times to live in obedience to such a clear command of God. And the Bible tells us, the Lord Jesus says, that our love for one another is based upon His love for us. We are to love one another as He Himself has loved us. The basis of our, or the reason that we would love one another, is because God has already loved us. He has set for us the perfect example by which you and I are to follow. And as we walk by faith in obedience to that command, John's going to tell us in his epistle that we are assured of his fellowship with God the Father and with Jesus Christ. This morning we're going to study together 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse 19 down through verse 24. Follow along as I read those verses, then we're going to bow together for a word of prayer. John writes and says, "And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts for Him. For if our heart condemn us not, God is greater than our hearts, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things which are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. And he that keepeth His commandment dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which hath given us." Let's pray together, please. Father, we thank You for our time together. We thank You, Lord, that we can come as we continue to study the book of 1 John. That, Lord, we can see that there is an assurance by faith and love. And Father, I pray that You would teach us from Your Word today. I pray that You would teach us the value and the reasons why we ought to love one another. It's not always easy to do, but Lord, we are to love one another as You have loved us. Lord, it's a command that You have given. May we be willing to live in obedience to it. We'll thank You, Father, for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, we considered, again, that we have been given a command by the Lord Jesus Christ to love one another. And those that refuse to love another brother and sister in Christ, John equates to the life of Cain, who willingly slew his brother Abel. Therefore, we concluded that those who will not love as Christ loved are not demonstrating a redeemed life. Their testimony for the Lord, at least in that point, is a facade. We can say that we are walking with Christ. We can say that we are in fellowship with Him. We can claim that we are in obedience to God. But if we refuse to love one another, all that we say is untrue. It's a facade. John equates our life then to that of Cain, a murderer. And John understands that we are to now live as we have been commanded. And that command that Jesus Christ gave is to love one another. And as we love one another, all men know that we are His disciples. We also consider that if we want to live as we ought to live and love one another, that love makes certain demands upon us. If we will show the love of Christ, then we realize that we must love sacrificially. That means that we don't merely love in word and in tongue, but we love in action and in sincerity. We love in truth and in deed. A love that refuses to give of oneself and a love that pretends in certain settings, John's going to tell us, is cheap and fraudulent in the eyes of Almighty God. We are commanded to love one another as God has loved us. We looked at verse 16 last week. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother, hath need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. As we now come to verse 19 and we go through this next section down through verse 24, John's going to give to us several assurances that the life of love gives to the believer. Again, you'll be reminded that the first part of this book dealt with our fellowship with God. The second half of this book deals with our sonship. And John's desire in chapters 3, 4, and 5 is to give us assurance that we are the sons of God. So John in this section is going to give us the assurances that come from a life that is lived in obedience to the command to love one another. Now, there are many in our world today, many Christians that live with doubt. We struggle to face the issues of life with assurance and confidence. But as a believer who lives in obedience to the command of Christ and loves as Christ has loved, then he will be assured of his relationship with the Father, and he will have confidence in his walk and fellowship with him. So John's going to list for us four assurances, and I want you to see them with me this morning. Look at verse 19. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. John begins this section which deals with assurance and first of all tells us that there is an assurance of sound doctrine. An assurance of sound doctrine. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts of Him. God has given to us truth, or as we read in other portions of Scripture, it's defined as the faith or the body of doctrine upon which we are to build our lives. God has given to us the truth, that faith. That faith has been delivered unto us, and in that faith we have all that we need for life and godliness. It reveals to us all that we need to know about God, about man and his problem of sin, about Jesus Christ and his perfect salvation. Within the Word of God, that doctrine of faith, the truth, we have all that we need to know about our new home, heaven, in which we now have our citizenship. And it gives us all that we need to know about the coming judgment for those who reject the free gift of salvation in the place called hell or the lake of fire. See, God has given to us all that we need for this life. He has given to us sound doctrine. And as we live in obedience to His Word, as we live in obedience to the truth, there is assurance, there is confidence in our walk. John says there's an assurance that we know that we are of the truth if we are loving one another. See, the Lord Jesus gave to his disciples that commandment. It's a new commandment, that ye love one another. Upon that which he would build his church, the Lord Jesus Christ wanted us to understand the essential element of a brotherhood that would love one another. And by that love, all men would know that you're a follower of Jesus Christ. And John says, when we live in that love, there is an assurance that we are of the truth. We can know that we have the right truth, the right doctrine, as we live according to the command of Christ and love one another. Dwight Pentecost, in his commentary, I think said it well. He said, false doctrine will manifest itself in evil practice, but true doctrine will produce obedience to God's commands. False doctrine will manifest itself in evil practice. True doctrine will produce obedience to God's commands. You can know that you are walking in the truth if you are living in obedience to the command that Christ gave, love one another. It is a problem that the church faces, and John is dealing with that. And so he says that the test of our fellowship is that we love one another. We found that in the first two chapters. But the assurance of our sonship and that we are in the truth is also bound to the fact that we love one another. You and I cannot say that we are in fellowship with God if we refuse to obey all of his commands. Now, you can tell people that you're in fellowship with God, but the truth is, you're not in fellowship with God when you disobey the commands of Almighty God. John made that very clear to us. Nor can you say that you have the right doctrine when your life does not match up to the truth of God's word and we refuse to obey his commands. Tragically, there are many who want to claim that they have the right faith, they have the right standards, that their way is the only way to live. But the problem is, they refuse to love one another. Folks, that's not the right doctrine. Those aren't the right standards. That's not the way to live. When we refuse to live in obedience to his word, and John says specifically, when we refuse to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, folks, understand that command is inclusive. It's not just that we love the brothers and sisters that are nice to us, that we like, that we get along with, but he's speaking of the whole body of Christ. We are to demonstrate the love of Christ as he loved us. I want you to think with me for a moment. It's not easy for us to love as we ought to love. Is it? In fact, some are very hard to love. It's hard to demonstrate the love of Christ against someone that continues to sin against you. Yet the Bible tells us that we are to forgive as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that when we have a heart of love, that heart of love will cover the multitude of sins. Will it not? Now that doesn't mean that we reject the notion that we are at times to confront, because love also tells us to confront those who are sin. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness.
There's a time for confrontation of sin. There's another time that we need to understand that we can allow love to override that person and their hurts against us. It covers the multitude of sins. The other option is to become angry and bitter against those people. And God's word is very clear on His command about those things. You and I cannot say that we are walking according to the truth if we refuse to love one another, and that includes all. The reality is there might be someone in this room today that you have a hard time loving. But that does not remove you from the obligation to love them. Because Christ loved you when you were unlovable. By the way, He continues to love you when you are unlovable. Does He not? He does. So John says, you can be assured that you are of the truth, that you are walking as you should according to sound doctrine, if you love one another. Folks, you and I cannot say that we are right with God if we refuse to live according to the truth of His word. Although we will not love perfectly, our heart will be assured that we are walking in the truth as we seek to love those that Christ Himself loves. Look at verse 20 though and 21. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. The second assurance that John gives us is an assurance of our relationship with God. An assurance of our relationship with God. We can be assured and have confidence that when we in the future stand before God, that we have lived according to His truth if we live or love one another. That's the first thought that we've considered. But we can also be assured that we today are in right relationship with the Father, enjoying His fellowship as His sons if we are seeking to live according to His command and love one another. As we mentioned earlier, we're not always going to love as we should. And at times, our heart will condemn us. The word condemn there in verse 20 means to judge or to say something is wrong. There are times that our heart will need to condemn us because we have not loved as Christ has loved us. The question is, what do we do when our heart condemns us? I think we have a couple options. Number one, I think when our heart condemns us that we are not living as God would have us to live, some would respond in this way. We immediately quit. We listen to the great accuser of the brethren. We give up because we have failed. See, I just can't do it. It's just too hard. I'm not good enough to love as I should. I'm not good enough to live as God wants me to live. It's just worthless. I might as well just stop. And so we quit. Our heart condemns us. We feel that we have failed. We're no good to God. And so we quit. Others respond this way. They fight against the condemnation. They seek to find someone else to blame. They refuse to accept their own responsibility for their sin. See, when our heart condemns us and the Spirit of God pricks us at the heart, He's expecting us to respond, to repent, to change, to turn from that sin. But sometimes what we do is, well, you know, I know I don't love as I should. But that's because, and we begin to list off our excuses why we cannot love that brother or sister in the Lord. And we refuse to accept our own responsibility to love as Christ has loved. We excuse our sin away. And we cannot say then we're in fellowship with God. What must we do? Well, John's going to tell us that we have to look to God by faith and allow Him to do His perfect work in us, for He is greater than our hearts. If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. By faith, when my heart condemns me, I need to look to God. By faith, I need to find out what it is that I need to change and how I need to be conformed to the image of Christ. Because, folks, God knows everything perfectly, does He not? See, when your heart condemns us, your heart doesn't even know it perfectly. But God knows your motivations as well as your deeds. See, some people feel very justified in what they do, and they put a smile on their face because they do everything right, but behind it is an evil heart, and God knows the difference. You can put on a fake smile, but God looks right through your fake stare, and He knows your motivation of heart. Be careful, God knows all things. We have to check our heart's motivation. God knows it, and He knows our actions and our deeds. God knows the intention as well as your actions. Sometimes we would really like to, but we still struggle and we still fall. But we really want to do what's right. God understands our intention. God knows what we're trying to do, and He knows our frame. He knows we are but dust. He knows that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. God understands, and He sees the heart. You might look at it and say, I'm a failure. And God says, no, I'm working in you. He knows all things. When we have our heart condemn us, we need to look to God who knows all things. We have to walk by faith, trusting in Him, that He will take all things and mold us and conform us to the image of Christ. Folks, the truth is, others might intend their actions and words toward you to be for harm. Joseph's brothers tried to harm him. They intended it for evil. And you might at times struggle to love them as you should. Because it's not easy. When people attack and people lie, when people go out of their way to hurt you, and they do. And by the way, you do the same thing to other people. When people go out of their way to harm you and they intend their actions and words for evil, it is not easy to love as we should. But that's when you and I have to come back to the truth and walk in truth and love as we should, because God intends all things for our good. You may remember that Mrs. Lawrence was here not that long ago with Judy. Her husband pastored for many years in Arishat there in Nova Scotia. They were members of our home church growing up. And when she came, she reminded me of a statement we used to hear often in our church. It was preached by a gentleman that has long since gone before us to the Lord, Dr. George Mundell. He used to make this statement in our church. I must see every person in every circumstance as the Holy Spirit of God working through that person or circumstance to make me more like Christ. That's not easy. When people, folks, intend to harm you, when they put a target on your back, when they call others and complain about you and do it purposefully, it's hard to love them. It's hard to love them as they should. But God intends every person in every circumstance to be used for our good to make us like Christ. When we walk with Him as we should, we are assured and have a confidence towards God. Verse 21 says, Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. There's an assurance of our relationship with Him. Now let me offer thought of warning here, if I might. We can read those verses and read into them maybe the thought that we can trust our heart in all of these things. That's not what John's really talking about. John is not saying here that we determine our faithfulness to God based on our experiences or based on our feelings. Our heart, our conscience can become distorted. The Bible says it can be seared. It is easily deceived. That's why the first challenge that we are given is about an assurance to the truth. Life must be lived by truth, not merely our experience. When we are striving to live by the truth and yet we struggle, God says there is an assurance by the ministry of the Spirit of God to our hearts. Romans chapter 8 says that the Spirit of God ministers to our spirit. He helps us in our infirmities. He becomes the comforter. What does He use? He uses, folks, the Word of God. So the truth must be linked even to our heart. Matter of fact, John's going to come down in just verse 23, and he's going to give us two sides to this: faith and love. You and I cannot simply say, well, my heart doesn't condemn me, therefore I'm okay. There are many people that can sit in services and never have a heart condemned because their heart is hardened against God and it's seared. The heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? What John is referring to is the work of the ministry of the Spirit of God. You see that in verse 24. So the reality is, if we can live according to the truth and we're living in the love of God, there is an assurance that I'm in right relationship with Him. And I have a confidence in my walk with God. Look at verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son, on His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. Here's the third assurance this morning, an assurance of answered prayer. There's an assurance of answered prayer. All of us have needs. We all carry burdens. Each of us has specific things that we want God to do in our lives, our families, and the church. All of us want God to answer our prayers. One of the problems is that we often, if we're honest, want God to answer our prayers according to our will, not His. When the Lord Jesus gave us the model of prayer, we were to pray that His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Too often, folks, I think we reverse the model. We want our will done in heaven as our will is done here on earth. But we're told to pray differently. We all have needs and we all have answers that we want God to have. And in the end, we want to know that God hears us and that He will answer. John in this passage reiterates the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ from the Sermon on the Mount, as other authors do. He reminds us of this fact, that our relationship and our fellowship with God is impacted by our relationship with men. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him. Why? Because we keep His commandment. What is His commandment? Verse 18. Love in word, not in word and neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. We have been commanded to love one another. And because we keep that commandment, we have an assurance that God will hear and answer. See, folks, your relationship with God is impacted by your relationship with other people. In the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus told us that if we have a problem with a brother, first be reconciled with him before we bring our gifts to the altar. Peter in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 reminds us that our prayers can be hindered if our relationship at home is not right. See, Peter in that section is dealing with the role of the wife and the role of the husband. And he tells the husband to dwell with her according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Why? That your prayers be not hindered. So our prayers can be hindered when we are not in right relationship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. If we harbor bitterness toward others, if our actions demonstrate a hatred toward another believer, and we refuse to confess our sin. Folks, I don't care if you pray for 12 hours straight. You have no assurance that God is going to hear what you pray until first you confess your sin. John says there is an assurance that he will hear when we keep his commandments. Psalm 66 verse 18 says, if I guard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So what's the solution? It's twofold. Verse 23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Two key components to the proper response: faith and love. There must first of all be a faith in the name of Jesus Christ. We must believe. Now folks, that's not a reference to our salvation. It's a reference to believing by faith that all that Jesus is by his example and all that he has instructed us in his word is true. I walk by faith. Jesus Christ set the example of loving one another. He demonstrated that love as he set aside his garment. He took upon him the towel of a servant and he washed his disciples' feet. Greater love hath no man than this, than the man lay down his life for his friends. He gave the example of love. And his words have been given. His instruction is clear. And by faith, we must live them out. You say, I don't understand it all. I don't either. It's too hard. I understand. But faith takes God at his word. Does it not? God told Abraham, I'm going to give you a son through Sarah. Lord, I'm almost 100 years old and she's almost 90. Really? But by faith, he believed that what God said, what he had promised, he is able also to perform. Romans 4:21. That's faith. We take God at his word and we live in obedience to it. God will hear us when we pray in faith, believing, and he will hear when we obey his command to love one another. Without these two, you and I will live with doubt that God hears our prayer. We won't have the confidence that we need. It will wane. But if we live by faith and love, there's an assurance and a confidence to come boldly to the throne of grace. One final thought this morning that's found in verse 24. There's an assurance of his fellowship. And he that keepeth his commandment dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. John says there's a final assurance, an assurance of fellowship. If we keep his commandments, we are assured that we will abide in him and he will abide in us. Folks, I can't read those words in 1 John and not think of John 15. Beginning in verse 5. In John 15 verse 5, reading down through verse 12, it says this: I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? It's what John's already talked about, assurance of our answered prayer. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that your joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Now, folks, in 1 John chapter 1, we find this truth beginning in verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, brothers and sisters in Christ. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Sounds just like John 15. Jesus Christ said, I want you to have fullness of joy and know that you can abide in me and bear much fruit. How do we know that? When we keep his commandment that he gave to love one another. Again, Dwight Pentecost, I think, sums up this point well. He says, there is no real satisfaction for a child of God apart from intimate fellowship with the Father. But there can be no fellowship with the Father apart from fellowship with the saints. The believer who keeps God's commandments of faith in God and love for one another abides in fellowship with him. You cannot have the fellowship with Almighty God and the assurance of that relationship apart from the commandment to have a love for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, folks, let's face it. We're not always going to like what each other does. But since when is like and love equated? I don't always like what my kids do. It has never changed my feeling of love. I don't always like what our deacons do or what they might say or what you might say, but it doesn't change whether or not I will love them. Because love is a command. It's not an emotion and it's not a feeling. It's a choice. See, God didn't love you because he felt like it. God did it because he chose you. Before the foundation of the world, you are his elect. Do I understand that? I really don't. It doesn't take away the fact that he says it's true. Love's a choice. We're not always going to like what everyone else does. We have different thoughts. We have different feelings. We have different opinions. We have different desires. We have different goals. But the reality is, we're to walk in unity. We're to not walk as the Gentiles walk. And we are commanded to walk in love. Beloved, our world is overrun with fear and doubt. But we can live with the full assurance of faith that we're in right relationship with God, abiding in him and him in you. Are you assured that you're walking with him? Are you assured that you're walking according to his truth? Are you assured that when you pray, God hears you and he will answer according to his will? If today the doubts have crept into your own heart and life, it may honestly be because you refuse to love as God has commanded. If your heart condemns you, today you ought to rejoice, for God desires to work in you that you might repent and make it right. For when there is fellowship one with another, and our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, there is fullness of joy that is often lacking in the life of the believer. I'm convinced that's why those are the top two in the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, the evidence that He is working in your life, is love, joy, peace. They're on top, folks, for a reason. God never gives us an order, and it's never just random. Love and peace are right there on top. For when we love God as we ought to love, and we love our brothers as we ought to love, there is a fullness of joy. What follows is peace. When there is love, joy, and peace, we can be long-suffering, we can be gentle, we can be kind, we can be patient. Christ says, I've given a new commandment unto you, and here it is. Love one another. The assurance and your fellowship, your confidence in walk with God, is associated with, will you love as Christ loved you? Will you love one another? Folks, if today you're not loving as you should, if there's hurt and bitterness, anger and malice, evil speaking. Paul said it this way. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind, tender hearted, loving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. To refuse to do so grieves the Spirit of Almighty God. Those simple verses that we often say to our children when they're in the midst of a fight with their brothers or sisters are the exact same words that we need when we fight pettily with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Be kind, tender-hearted. Love and forgive as God for Christ's sake has done the same for you. Let's pray.